Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Been going through Matthew now for quite a long time, getting close to the end. And we are in a period in the Lord's ministry, which we've explained earlier, is called the Perean ministry. It's where he has departed from the Galilee for the last time, and he's gone out into the wilderness area somewhere where John the Baptist would have been. And he is teaching. And he's teaching today one of the parables of the kingdom. Now, Matthew presents Jesus Christ as the king. Amen. I have a question. Is he your king?
Amen.
Well, some people say he's their king. Is he ruling in your life?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
King ought to have rule.
Amen.
And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love him, we should obey him. And so he is our king. We are, I ask the question, are you a part of the kingdom? Amen? Born again Christian. We read about that this morning in Sunday school. You must be born again, the Bible says. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So born again Christian, member of the kingdom, going to be living in the kingdom for all eternity. And now Jesus explains the kingdom using these parables. And the parable today, this may be one of the most difficult parables to interpret. And you got to remember something. When you read the Bible, you can't just say, oh, I know what that means. You've got to interpret Scripture with Scripture.
Amen.
Because when the Bible teaches something, it doesn't teach against itself somewhere else. The Bible all agrees. So if someone takes a verse out of the Bible and they say to you, oh, see, that verse means thus and so, well, they better have other verses to back them up.
Amen.
So I want to point something out to you, first of all. Don't turn there with me, but I just want to remind you of something. The Bible is very clear that when we are rewarded, and remember that word, rewarded in heaven, we will be rewarded differently based upon what we have done for the Lord in this life.
Amen.
Let me read you a couple of verses. You don't need to turn there, but in Mark 16, the Bible says, the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. That's a principle we understand, that the more you work, the more you deserve. You're going to see in this parable today that principle is not the one applied. And we'll just leave it at that for a minute. Revelation 22:12. Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. If you didn't run in the race, don't expect to receive a prize. Amen? 1 Corinthians 3:14, if any man's work abide, and I won't read the rest of that story there, but you might remember it's the gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Jesus will reward us according to our works. There are some people that we read about in the Bible, like Paul or John or Peter, what we call the inner circle. I expect them to receive enormous reward in eternity. Then there are some people we read about in the Bible. I'm thinking of a man named Demas. And Paul wrote, he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I kind of think Demas was saved. But Demas decided rather than serving God and traveling with Paul and serving God with Paul, that he'd rather have what the world had to offer. And I don't expect him to receive much of any reward in heaven. The Bible says there in 1 Corinthians 6 that some people are going to be saved so as by fire. They're going to be saved, but nothing to show for this life. And we'll talk about that some tonight in the evening message. But with all that information, let's look at Matthew chapter 20 and this interesting parable. And then the question of how to apply this parable. And I think with what I just told you and some more things I'll show you in a minute, you can understand what it means. But let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And we're going to read Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 1 through 16, and then we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with them, with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, that would have been about 9 a.m., and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth, that's about noon, and ninth, that's about 3 p.m., and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. When they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Let's ask God to bless our time together. Father, thank you this morning that we have a Bible. Thank you that we have a Holy Spirit that teaches us. And Lord, today we need your teaching. We need for you to make clear what is being emphasized here and why it's important. We recognize many things. We know other things the Bible teaches us about how we'll be rewarded in heaven. But this particular passage is very unique, and I pray you'd help us to apply it. And then, God, help us to remember some simple things, some basic things, that there are many that never, ever enter into the employ of their Savior. There's some that never enter into his kingdom. And, Lord, what a sad state that would be, to be those that are excluded from this parable. God, help us today. We pray you'd bless our time and be with those that cannot be with us today and care for them in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A lot of things in the Bible that are very easy to understand. The Bible says, for example, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the word all is very easy. It's comprehensive. It means everybody. The word sin means to break God's law. We're all sinners, aren't we? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Everybody who's ever sinned deserves to be punished for that sin, separated from God forever in a place called hell. Someone said, well, hell's not real. Jesus said it is. Amen? Amen? The Bible's very clear about some things. Some things are a little bit cloudier. Some things are a little bit harder to understand. And in this parable, as I always try to do, I want to understand it how it applies to my life and to yours. And there are some things that are obvious, and we'll look at those in just a minute. There are some things that are dangerous if we don't take care and understand. You need to remember something, and that is you cannot earn salvation. You cannot do anything to pay for your own sins. You are not authorized to do that. You are not. God didn't choose you to do that. God, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's anointed, the anointed one. That word means chosen. He was chosen to pay for your sins. Amen. And folks, when you come to the Bible, the very first thing the Bible wants you to see is that Christ died for your sins and that you've received him. And we get a great deal of peace knowing that we are part of his kingdom. Amen. Now, Matthew is written with two or three things in mind. And we've mentioned this before, but if you hadn't remembered it, one of them is this. It presents Jesus as the king. Jesus came to Jews, the Israelites, and he would have been their king, but they rejected him. They said, "We will not have this man to rule over us." They said, "We have no king but Caesar." And they rejected him and they crucified him, but he will still be their king one day. And they will look on him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn, and they will turn back to him. And in the tribulation period, the Israelites will receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. In the meantime, the kingdom of God is in the hands of, we will say, and that's not a right phrase, but it's close enough, it is primarily right now a Gentile kingdom. We received two good missionary letters from Jim Post by email this week. I have not printed them yet and given them to Mark, but they were interesting letters. And I was reading something else about how, you may have seen it in the news this week, that Israel was very unhappy because there was a bus driver, I think he was in Jerusalem, but it was somewhere in Israel, and he was telling people that Jesus was the Messiah and telling people that Jesus was their Savior. And the bus company was not happy. And the people riding the bus were not happy. And they complained to the bus company, "How can this man say this?" Well, he must have got saved, I figure. Amen? And I think you'll meet him in heaven one day. I suspect if he hasn't done so already, he'll lose his job over that. But that's okay. God can take care of him. Amen? If you had to lose a job in order to glorify God, lose the job. And then they were going to close down. There was some TV station that was going to try to be broadcasting the gospel in Israel, and they were going to try and shut that down, and they were going to remove their license or whatever. Because, folks, Israel still does not accept Jesus as the Messiah, but one day they will. So, I'm going to say this. Some of us will understand it. Some of us will. Good men have preached this passage and applied it to Israel and to the history of Israel, thinking of these different offers as different time periods and what Israel went through. And I just want you to think about this for a minute. You can go back to the garden, and you can find that in the garden there were animals that were slain so that their skin could be used to clothe Adam and Eve because of the shame of their sin. All the way back in the garden, God foresaw that his son Jesus would die and his blood would be shed to pay for our sins. So don't think God ever had more than one plan of salvation. It's always been the same thing, Christ paying for our sin. Amen? Amen. Someone says, well, in the Old Testament they were saved by keeping the law. No, they weren't. The book of Galatians says it very clearly. The law, the Old Testament law, is our schoolmaster. It's our teacher. It is our instructor to bring us to Christ. In other words, the Old Testament law teaches us you and I cannot earn our salvation because we can't keep the law. We need a Savior. God knew that all along. But there were different ways of looking at it, if you will. And you can think of that period of time between Abraham, when he's the father of Israel, between Abraham and Moses. Someone says, we're saved by keeping the law. Well, that's a problem. Abraham had no law. There was no law until Moses. And yet somehow people knew, the Bible says in Romans, they had a law in their heart. They knew right and wrong. So there was that period of time. And then there's that period of time when Moses came and gave them the law. And from that time until the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a period of time when the Jews became very interested in keeping the law and the sacrifices and the temple and the ceremonies and all of those kinds of things. There's that second period of time. And then there's a period of time that takes place when Jesus died on the cross, which we live in, which is an age of grace. And then there's going to be a period of time in the thousand-year reign of Christ, which is going to be different as well. And you can take those four periods of time, for those of you that really want to study this out, and you can compare them to these four offers here. Here's a simple explanation. In each of those four periods of time, a person that got saved got equally saved. You say, well, Pastor, what about those fellows that lived back there in the days of the law? Wasn't it harder for them than it is now? Seemingly, yes. But they were saved just like you and I. We've said it before, and trying to be humorous, I wouldn't have wanted to live back in the days, Leviticus, for example, to where the Jews wandering in the wilderness had to set the tabernacle up, and they had to bring the lamb and slay the lamb, and the blood had to be sprinkled on the altar, and all that had to be done to atone for the sins of the people, all looking forward to when Christ would die. That would have been a hard day in which to live. I'm a lot happier living in a day when you and I can kneel down and ask Jesus to save us and be saved just like that. It's all by faith, but it's a different application of that faith. You say, well, shouldn't those people get a bigger reward? No. When you're saved, you're saved. You say, well, and there's another thought here as well. You could take this parable and you can go this direction and you can say this. Do you think the person that got saved when they were 10 and they lived their whole life for God, are they any more saved than a person that got saved when they were 70? I visited a lady in her 80s. She was a native Hungarian woman, and she was in the hospital, and she was on her deathbed. Didn't realize it at the time, but she was. And she asked Jesus to save her. Is she any less saved than those of us that got saved as children? No, it's the same. And is that fair? Yes, that's fair. That's God's deal. The penny, by the way, in this passage represents a day's wages. That's what they got for a day. It's not a small amount. That's a penny was a day's wage. And so they each got what they were promised and what they deserved. So what can we do with this parable that's good for you and I today? And in this next 15 or 20 minutes, I'll just show you two or three things. First of all, you need to understand something. Think about the parables of the kingdom. There's a lot of them. I'll name a few. There's the sower of the seed, the good seed and the tares. Remember that? So he sowed the good seed and someone came along and sowed the tares. And folks, there's two kinds of people in the world, those that receive Christ and those that reject him. There's the parable of the grain of mustard seed, talking about how a small amount of faith can accomplish a huge thing. Folks, it doesn't take a quantity of faith to save you. It takes the existence of faith. Some folks have more faith than others, but it's an equally saving faith. There's the parable of the leaven and the meal. These are mostly in Matthew 13. You can read that chapter later in Matthew 13. There's the parable of the meal and the leaven, and a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And a couple of nice applications of that. When it comes to sin, sin's contagious, but so is faith. And as you share your faith with folks, it spreads, and then they tell somebody else. There's the parable of the net. Some folks call it the dragnet in Matthew 13:47, to where the Bible says at the end of time that God's going to assemble folks and sort them out, the saved and the unsaved. And so most of these parables have a lot to do about salvation. And again, I want to remind you, you are not saved by works. Romans 4 says, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. Hebrews says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, Titus, I'm sorry, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We're not saved by works, and that's not what he's trying to teach us here. But let's look at the principles here. Not complicated, and I think they're biblically very safe. First of all, look with me, if you will, back in verse 2. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 2. The Bible says, when he had agreed, and you might almost underline that word if you like to do that sort of thing. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. God had the householder, I should say, who represents the king, represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He had agreed with these folks that started out at the beginning of the day, you'll receive a day's wages. And that's what they should have expected. Now, at the end of the parable, they get unhappy because they thought they should have gotten more. I just want to remind you of something. God keeps his promises just the way he said them. Someone says, Pastor, I don't think that I can prove that. You don't have to prove it. God keeps his promises. You may have some things happen in your life that don't make sense to you. Folks, God keeps his promises. And you know, one of the blessed things about reading the Bible is knowing the promises of God. If we had a little contest and I had you to get a piece of paper out and write down the promises of God, how many could you write down? There are thousands of them. We have our favorite promises. One of my favorites is in the Psalms. The afflictions of the righteous are many, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Amen. You say, well, maybe he doesn't do that. No, he said he does. Amen? Amen. And we don't always see how that works, but you haven't got the eternal vision that God has. If you don't read your Bible, you're not going to know God's promises. And when you read your Bible and you see the promises of God, I want you to know something. God made them. He keeps them. Amen. Some of them are conditional. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a condition there. You have to call on God. But there's a promise there. If you ask him to save you, he will. Well, Pastor, I don't deserve to be saved. I know that. None of us do. But the Bible says, again, this is a promise. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Pastor, my sins, there's so many of them. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen? So the promises of God are in the Bible, and they are precise, and God keeps them just the way he said he would. In chapter 25, don't turn there, I'll read it to you. For example, the Lord said that there was going to be a day when the servants were going to be evaluated. And you might remember, one was given 10 talents, one was given 5, one was given 2. And then at the end of the parable, those three servants were judged. And the first servant had taken what he had and had used it and gained something for his master. God gave you talents. We even use the word that way. He gave you gifts. Some folks are organized. Some folks are good speakers. Some folks have a great memory. Some folks are good administrators. Some folks are good at whatever that you can do to use it for God. And whatever God gave you, my question is, are you using it for him? Amen? You say, well, Pastor, I'm too busy for that. There's a servant. There's a servant who's called a slothful servant. And that slothful servant in Matthew chapter 25 even loses what he had and winds up with nothing. God keeps his promises very precisely. He kept his agreement with these folks in verse 9. When they came that were hired, even the 11th hour, they received a penny. And the first came, and you go back all the way through, I'm not going to read it all to you, but they all received what God said they would receive. Folks, God's going to give you what he said he'd give you. Look at this. In each case, he came and he saw others standing idle in verse 3, in verse 6, and two other occasions, of course. And in each case, he said he was going to hire them. And in each case, they were equally compensated. And there's something that's very obvious here. It's not too late to get saved. It's not too late to start serving God.
Amen?
Amen? I think that some people, I've heard people say this, I'm just too old to be saved, or I've just done too much to be saved, or it's too late for me to be saved. You know, when it's too late, it's when you don't care anymore. But the Holy Spirit will convict you, and if you'll listen to him, he'll change your life. Somebody comes to me, somebody says, for example, Pastor, I'm too old to serve God. Oh, I don't think so. I know the Bible's full of folks that serve God that up in the years. We hear the story that Daniel may have been 90, perhaps as old as 90 when he was cast into the lion's den. I wouldn't want to be in there as a young person either, but still. We know that John, when he was on the Isle of Patmos, when he received the revelation, the last book of the Bible, that he was probably about 90 as well. Folks, keep serving God as long as you can.
Amen.
I can't do what I used to do, Pastor. I understand that, but you can do things.
Amen.
Let me ask you this. Can you pray?
Yes.
Amen. Can you read your Bible and talk to the Lord and have fellowship with him? Yes. Can you talk? If you got a mouth, can you tell people about the Lord? We've had folks, it's kind of humorous in our church, so half the soul winners can barely get around. They're old enough and their legs don't work quite right and their back doesn't work quite right and their feet don't work quite right. Some of the most endangered people in our community are the ones that live on the second floor, because we can't get to them. But, you know, you can use a telephone. And God will bring people your way. Amen?
Amen?
Listen to me. It's not too late to start serving God. If you spent your whole life serving the devil and serving the world, and suddenly God came to you and said, work for me, and by the way, he will, you can serve him right now. Look at this last thing, and I'll just kind of tie it all together for you. Look at verse 3 again. This is an interesting thing, something that jumps out. He says in verse 3, he went out about the third hour and saw others. Okay, now first of all, he went out early in the morning in verse 1 and he hired some fellows. And then he saw others in verse 3. And then he found others in verse 6. And there's one other occasion in verse 5 where he did likewise. So in each case, except for the first one, he's finding some new folks. It doesn't sound to me like he saw a fellow in the morning and the fellow said, I don't want to work. And he came back a couple hours later, he talked to the same fellow and the fellow said, I don't want to work. And then maybe at noon, the same fellow, I don't want to work. And then at 5 in the afternoon, the fellow said, okay, I'll work. That's not what happened. He's giving people an opportunity, and then when they pass it up, he's giving the opportunity to somebody else, and to somebody else, and to somebody else. Now, this is a serious question. When God calls, do you answer? Amen? When you see the will of God, do you respond? You know what we're guilty of sometimes is saying later, not now. And I just want you to know something. God doesn't owe you a second or a third or a fourth chance. Now, praise the Lord, many of us here got saved not the first time somebody told us, not the second time, not the third time. Maybe you've heard it 100 times. I hope you get saved today if you haven't done so yet. Because you have no guarantee of 101 or 102. There are people in hell today that said, no, 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 no. I'll do it later, I'll do it later, I'll do it later, and then later never came. It is the grace of God that we hear His invitation. It's because God loves you that He gives you more than one chance. And you don't know how many chances you're going to get. Someone says, well, I'm in control of that. Oh, I think not. The Holy Spirit's in control of that. It's not that God does not love you, but it's that every time you say no, your heart gets harder and harder and harder, and before you know it, there's no getting through. Each time he came and he invited some folks, I think they were new opportunities. Folks, when God calls you, answer then. What breaks my heart sometimes when we have an invitation, there's somebody here and I know they're lost and they're not coming forward. And I think to myself, if they don't come forward today, I know this, the next time it's going to be harder, if there is a next time. But you see, each time he invited these folks, they answered and they came and they went to work for him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says it this way. I have heard thee, this is a quote from Isaiah. I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When you realize you're lost, you need to get saved now. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you need to respond then. There may not be another chance. You say, well, I'll do it when I get older. You might not. Hebrews 4:7, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You see, it's not wise to reject God's promise. You don't know what next offer is going to come. He agreed in verse 2 with these people. And I'm just going to ask you a question. And this is an interesting way to think about this, if you would. Do you have an agreement with God? This is not just a Bible, it's a contract. This is God's agreement. But it's not just God's agreement, it's His agreement with me. You know, we sign things sometimes we don't read, and then we find out we wished we'd have read it. This is the contract for life. And God's going to judge you by every word in this book. And He's going to evaluate you for rewards. Now, again, your salvation is by faith in Christ, and He'll forgive you for your sins. But this book is the guide for our judgment. And this is an agreement between God and us. You say, well, Pastor, I haven't read that. I'm not sure what God's agreed with me. You better get in it and read it. Amen? Because, as they say, ignorance of the law is no excuse. When you find out one day God had expectations, He's not going to say, well, since you didn't read the Bible, we'll skip over that part. No, God makes an agreement with us. He expects us to live by it. God's going to do what's right. He says in verse 4, whatever is right, I will give thee. Verse 7, whatever is right, that shall ye receive. I How much do you think you deserve from God based on what you've done for him? Amen? Folks, I read you the verses already. God's going to judge us. He's going to reward every man according to his works. It's not too late to start serving God. It's not too late to receive a reward. There is a missionary, and he was out of England. And I may think of his name here in just a minute. And if I do, I'll tell you. Otherwise, I should have known this. I'll give it to you tonight. But very famous. He was a rugby player, very good at what he did. And he was rather well known in England. And as he got older, he got saved at a later age. And when he was in his 50s, if I recall correctly, and I know a man that did this recently named Morrow that was in his 50s and did this. When he was in his 50s, he got to thinking, you know, somebody needs to go to Africa and lead those people to the Lord. They could see back in those days, this was in the 1900s, that Islam was just starting to slip into Africa. The wickedness of Islam was just starting to penetrate Africa. And this fellow said, you know, somebody needs to go there and tell those people about Christ before they're deceived. And by the way, now they are. And there's way too many people that have been deceived by that wicked religion. But back then they weren't. But this fellow was in his 50s, and he went out, and he told churches, and this is early 1900s, he said, you know, I want to go to Africa. It may have been before that, but anyway, it was a long time ago. I want to go to Africa and be a missionary. And they said, oh, you're too old. You can't go be a missionary. And the fellow couldn't raise support. And so you know what he did? He just went anyway. And his plan was, he had no support. He had no idea what he was going to do. He was just going to get there and go inland and reach these people with the gospel. Now, today, that would be unheard of. But folks, God can do that. It was called missions by faith. And this fella, he went in, and at an advanced age, in his late 50s, back in days when you didn't live as long as you do now, he went to Africa, and he saw huge success. And I wonder how many people in heaven are going to say, I'm so glad that missionary didn't think he was too old. I'm so glad that fella didn't decide. He could have retired. He was well known. He was famous in England. He could have retired and been comfortable. He didn't say, I'm too old to serve God. He said, people are going to die and go to hell unless I go. Made a huge impact in Africa. Souls that'll be in heaven because somebody didn't say, I'm too old. Now, here's the question. You say, Pastor, I'm too old to serve God. I don't think so. I'm too old to start serving God? I don't think so. And oh, by the way, if you're in that younger category, as some are, what would you rather do, spend your life serving the world or spend your life serving God? Amen? Amen. And God's going to reward you for your labors. Right. One of these days, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and every one of us will receive the things done in this body. And here's what we do. If we're not serving God, we say to ourselves, I'll take care of that later. I'm too busy. I've got too many things to deal with. There's just no time right now. Or some might even say, you know, I tried that and it didn't work out all that well, and so I've kind of given up. I don't want to stand before God one day and be that slothful servant. I don't want to stand before God one day and having spent my entire life serving the world. And I found something out. God can take better care of you than you can take care of you. Amen. And God can use you better than you can use you. And God can give you joy you can't give yourself. And God knows how to make you happy better than you know how to make you happy. Folks, when God calls, just say yes. Amen. You go back to the beginning and I'll be done. Just got to say this. The folks that were unhappy in this parable, and really, it's a portrayal of Israel. Because do you know who the 11th hour people are? You and I. Is that at the end of the ages, right before the Lord came back, praise God, we got saved. And we're going to step into eternity. And do you remember when you were younger, maybe even recently, you went to some awards ceremony? And you went to this award ceremony, and what do they always do? They save the most important reward for last, don't they? And I kind of see it this way. He says the last shall be first. And this is just maybe my opinion. I don't know. But at the end of time, there's going to be a roll call of sorts. And the Lord's going to say, Rosendo Mendez, come step forward and receive your rewards. Leo Jacobs, step forward and come receive your rewards. We're all going to see it. Amen. Say, that's going to take a long time, Pastor. We got a lot of time in eternity. Amen. Amen. Greg Dahlman, come forward and receive your rewards. Mark McMahon. Deborah Schaefer. I can name everybody after a while, but I'm not going to do it. Patty Ball. Come receive your rewards. He says, the last shall be first. I think you and I will be the first ones in line for that. And then some of those folks from way back when, Abraham, come forward and receive your rewards. I think we're going to get to see that, amen? And I think he's going to be one of the last ones rewarded, perhaps, because he was one of the first ones to start. But at the end of the day, it'd be a sad thing not to be there, because the other folks are going to be in hell. At the end of the day, wouldn't it be sad if the Lord Jesus Christ called you forward and said, your name, come receive your rewards. And you got a little trifle. And that was it. And then somebody else gets called, the Apostle Paul. Wow, think of the crowns that fellow's going to earn. And you know, all those things you spent your life on, the stuff you accumulated, the experiences you had, the luxury and joy that you enjoyed, that's all gone. And now, what's next? Eternity. Do you want to be rewarded here or be rewarded there? Amen? Amen. Let's all stand and pray.